Welcome to The Truth in This Art. I am your host, Rob Lee, and today I have the privilege, the pleasure, almost two words in one, of speaking with John Menadakis of Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you so much for hopping on and doing this in the morning. This is what we have to do. We have to just make these things work. You got to get it in when you can. So to start off, for those who are undipped, you know, and I don't know why they're not, but for those who are undipped, describe your work and could you share an important lesson you've learned as a leader? Because, you know, Red, you're co-owner, you know, of this institution. So tell me more.
I'm a firm believer in just leading by example. It's the way my father, you know, raised us, was a man of few words, and I believe in consistency. I believe in leading from the front and just letting my actions dictate my beliefs. People can talk big game, but if you're not out there every day showing that you believe in what you're saying, it'll ultimately fall on deaf ears. You'll lose credibility. So I think consistency and leading by example are the two best methods by far in leadership.
So run us through quickly, like what that work looks like. What is your role as that co-owner and within Jimmy's Famous Seafood?
Yeah. So the restaurant industry, it's very unique, very different. So every day you can be doing something different. There's no set schedule per se in our line of work. So it's kind of whatever it takes each day. You know, Monday can be a lot slower than Saturday, for example, but some Mondays, you know, for example, Memorial Day or Labor Day, you're gonna have to roll up your sleeves and help out in the bar or dining room. So, you know, I don't really have something that I do every day. There's no set uniform that I wear every day. It's whatever it's going to take that day to make sure that our team is in the best position to perform and perform to the best of our abilities and to perform to our standards and what our guests and our customers have come to expect. So, you know, whether that's putting on a suit and heading into a meeting to help secure a catering job, or whether it's, you know, being in shorts and helping stock essential bottles of water in a warehouse or clean out the beer box, you got to do whatever it takes that day. And you got to work with all walks of life. We have nearly 200 employees, so you got to be able to relate to everybody and to make them know that they're important to you, and you got to show that to them.
And hopping on a podcast with a chucklehead from East Baltimore.
You know, I'm a huge fan of podcasts and people that are entrepreneurs and want to get their voice out there. So I never say no, man. I respect the grind. I respect the hustle. Whether I don't ask, you know, as you know, dumb questions like what's your reach and what's your following? You know, I just, if somebody, you know, gives me the honor of expressing, you know, my voice and my beliefs, you know, I'm very humbled and honored each time.
Yeah. And I think that's ultimately what the purpose of this particular platform is. And what's interesting to me, like, you know, uncovering something, right? So they may know you from social media. They may know you from being the face of, you know, of Jimmy's Famous Seafood and all, but really they may not know a lot about you. So it's able to like kind of get into like what went into the business, what's baked into what your operations look like and things of that nature. I think there's a lot of value in being able to tell stories, and kind of what this month is really dedicated to is that food and beverage industry and what it looks like. It's not one set story and one simple approach. And you're like, oh, this is what you do? Hell yeah. How did you do that? So thinking back, and you touched on it a little bit earlier regarding your dad. So think back to your childhood and describe any lessons that you learned that you may not have mentioned, that you learned from your upbringing that you still apply. And I know that leading from the front philosophy is one that you're operating with. Is there an example outside of that?
You know, my father was just a firm believer in toughness and respect, and just showing everybody respect. And, you know, we believe that and we live that because in our industry, man, you never know. You never know who's going to be walking in that day and it's very important that you're consistent and that you treat everybody with that respect. And I'll never forget that. You know, and in terms of like stories, you know, there's some good ones. You know, my dad was, you know, he was a perfectionist. So I remember one time, he told me I can get the new PlayStation if I got straight A's with my report card. So report cards come around and I got straight A's, and he takes me to the mall after school, and he never used to pick us up from school. And I go get the PlayStation. I put it on the counter, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, Dad, you know, you said if I got straight A's that I can get the PlayStation." He goes, "That's right. I said straight A's. I didn't say all A's and an A minus. Put it back." And I'll never forget that. You know, it's you can never go halfway. You got to do things all the way. And when you set goals, you got to make sure that you don't take any shortcuts and that you accept nothing but your best. And that's a great story. And it's one that resonates with me. And they took 3 hours out of his day, probably teaching that lesson. But, you know, at 13, 14 years old, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that's great. Dads will do that. Like my dad is Marine or what have you, because once a Marine, always Marine, right? And yeah, it's like, oh, so this is what we're doing. I was like, but you didn't. We're talking about what you're doing. I was like, oh, all right, yeah. Fair enough. Learning that lesson. So obviously, as we're recording here, this is an audio medium, but there is a visual component, and I see you over there with the guns out, brother. So there are recent pictures of you on social media, you know, wrestling for a local promotion. So tell me about that experience.
Yeah, so I've worked with MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling, here for a few years. And just great men, great women in that locker room, great leadership, Dan Dennis, just an organization that I have a ton of respect for, and they've been very generous in extending an opportunity for me to perform sometimes and teaching me the craft, going back to the late, great RJ Meyer, the Bruiser.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had a long running storyline, you know, with a character of mine, and, you know, hopefully it's beneficial to them, and I help them sell tickets when needed, you know, but for now I am retired. And I'm getting up there in age, so my wife's not too thrilled with me putting my body out there. So I'm very happy to just sit back and maybe be a manager or an off-screen character. But you know, I think my in-ring days have come to an end here.
No more back bumps for you.
So nothing but respect for everybody in that locker room. That's one job that I can say without question, I could never perform full time. Just the wear and tear on the body, mm-hmm. mentally, the life on the road. It's very impressive, and you really have to be dedicated and a perfectionist to make it. And unless you've lived it, even in the smallest capacity, like I did, it's really hard to understand.
Totally. And I think, you know, that movie, what is it, The Wrestler, from a few years back, that's why it resonated the way that it did, because it kind of captured, like, you have this component of the glitz and glam of a really well-done production or what have you, but it's more of the show side of things. But what's baked into that is the athleticism, and it's like the athleticism, what goes into it on being on the road and things of that sort, and that often gets missed. So I think that film highlighted a lot of that stuff, and that's why it resonated in the way that it did. We're generally, I think, attached to watching the TV product and not knowing like what it looks like. So yeah, respect earned, respect given. So I think this is a natural segue. So like Jimmy's Famous Seafood is a location for the athletes. I see like everyone kind of rolling up. I see Ravens players in social media, Orioles, wrestlers, the whole thing. And these are big guys, right? They're there enjoying the food. So what are some of those popular menu items that if you're like, you know what, we're going to change this, might take this off, might cause you a little issues. It might say, hey, man, I might take this table with me. Hey, man, like I'm going to grab John up. Hey, man. So what are some of those popular items that that people come in, let's say maybe athletes or what have you, but people who come in and like, no, this is my go to. Like, I like a few things that are there. We might talk about that a little later. But what are those items that people really crave from your spot?
Well, gosh, I mean, it depends on the individual, obviously. Yeah. You know, if it's a professional wrestler, for example, who only gets to come in once a year, once every other year, obviously they're going to, you know, get the crab cakes. When you're in Maryland, you have to get the crab cakes no matter where you go. So obviously that's a popular item. And then it also depends on, you know, their diet and their restrictions. you know, a Ravens player, for example, who has the opportunity to come in a few times a year, is probably going to eat a little cleaner and order a flounder or a salmon or a tuna. But, you know, it just depends. If they're gorging, if they're treating themselves, they have dessert, milkshakes, steaks, you know, which are very slept on at the Famous. But there's no pure one go-to. If I did have to say one, obviously I would say it's the crab cakes. You know, when in Rome, as they say. So when they come to Jimmy's, of course, and they don't have the opportunity to do so as frequently as they like, despite us, you know, shipping nationally.
Yeah,
they definitely want to get a Jimmy's crab cake and get that smell and get that service and experience the full thing. You know, it's not while it's great at home, it's certainly not the same experience that goes into coming in and visiting.
Absolutely. And yeah, well, if you're in Maryland, you got to have the crab cakes. It's one of those things. And seeing that, you know, you guys are shipping out, that's really great as well, because I've had friends who they'll come here, visit, and then they're in this kind of landlocked. Like, I have a brother who lives in like kind of the outskirts of Texas. And he's like, so crab cakes, right? Can y'all like send those? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. My go-to is the cast iron chicken, and I like to get that side of the garlic mashed potatoes. It's like, this is great. And if I can get, this is ridiculous, but if I can get like the cream of crab soup, and it's like those potatoes and the cream of crab soup come together, it's a great marriage. It's a great marriage there.
It is. And like I said, that's a great dish too, because you have the chicken, you have the crab meat, you have the shrimp. So everybody's different. Everybody's unique. But you know, we take a lot of pride in that menu and having something for everybody. So for example, with the chicken Chesapeake, you know, one land item, two seafood items, and some people come in frequently that don't eat seafood. You know, one of my closest friends is allergic to shellfish, and he's probably eaten everything on the menu that he can, within reason. So, you know, children as well, the chicken tenders are extremely popular because we make them right there on site. So, there's definitely something for everybody on that menu, and it's a place that you can go to 3-4 days a week and get a different experience each time, and honestly hit a different price point every time. You can have certain items that are $7 or $8, and you can have the stuffed lobster, which, you know, is up there. So you know, like I said, we take a lot of pride in that menu, and just having something for everybody to enjoy despite whether it's lunchtime, dinner time, celebrating, you're hungry, you're not hungry, you know, we've got something for you for sure.
And I think that really contributes to the longevity of you guys being around for almost 50 years. And it's a landmark, it's an institution. So in my opinion, and so the question I have here, for you, and I think you've touched on it. So if this sounds like kind of like duplicative, please let me know, but in three words or less, what makes the Jimmy's brand successful?
Family. It's one word, without question. It's just, we love everybody that comes in. We grew up on top of the restaurant, lived there a majority of our lives. So we literally look at that place as our house. So yep. When somebody's coming into your house, you got to treat them right. And it's hard, as much of a social media presence as we have, and you know, as fortunate as we've been to appear on some national TV shows, unless you come in there, unless you catch that vibe, it's hard to explain, but it's something that we've worked on our entire lives. It's the only way we know. Yeah. And anybody that's listening, that's been to Jimmy's can probably attest to that. It's just a different kind of place. And I think it's a big reason why we've been so hesitant to ever open a second location, because it's so hard to replicate the history and the story of that building. So, we love it. And that's why we have no problem waking up every day and going to work.
And I think you're, you know, as obviously being known and having that recognition now, you're even bigger recognition, like the most recent, you know, being a recipient of the Maryland Restaurant Association's Lifetime Achievement Award, that's come up. And then having, being like noticed for that great work with the Famous Fund, and then kind of extending out this notion of family and being that local industry, because, you know, coming out of the last 2 years, foot traffic to places has gotten really impacted. So just reading about that and seeing that work that's happening and that work that's continued really shows that you're an institution, but also you're an institution that's really very much part of the community in the larger Baltimore, Maryland family.
Yeah. And then, you know, the more recognition that we do receive, it makes us work even harder because now, as you mentioned, you might have an extra 7 or 8 customers per day. So you got to make sure that you're not losing who you are, that you're not letting it get to your head. So, it makes us work even harder because it makes us pay even more attention to detail because you don't want to let somebody down. You don't want somebody that saw us on TV or saw us as a result of some of the things that we did in the community come in and not get the experience that we'd like to be known for. So, you know, it's humbling. It is rewarding to an extent, but it's a challenge. It's almost like having a bullseye on your back now because people kind of have higher expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, when my father was first starting out, I'm sure people would throw around the word underrated when it came to Jimmy's. And now because people have these high expectations, they might say, oh, that place is overrated. So it's our job to make sure that that doesn't happen. And, you know, you can't make everybody happy, that's for sure. But, you know, we'll definitely do everything in our power to make sure that we live up to the standard that, you know, our father started.
That's great. That's great. And important to recognize. I had this conversation with an artist and asked him, you know, about his one piece of advice he'd give out, especially when you have like success, you have that notoriety, like, you know, it's, I know Sondheim season and things of that nature, and people get that recognition and get that the money that comes along with it. And one of the pieces of advice he gave me, he's like, if you're really good early on or really bad early on, he's like, don't believe either one. Just, you know, stick with what you're doing and stick with why you're doing it. And that's going to lead to that longevity. And I was just like, all right, that's good to know. Cause you know, you probably see it will have you. I'm posting an episode every day and say, oh, I know who you are. And different people are knocking on the doors and wanting to collaborate, wanting to work. And I just keep myself rooted in this notion of I'm just doing my content. It's like, what's driving what I'm doing and why am I doing what I'm doing versus trying to maybe bring in a guest because they have a certain clout or a certain degree of prestige. It's really, why am I doing this, and let that drive everything. So I got 2 more real questions and then I got some rapid fire questions for you. So describe your philosophy in networking. Like, are you good at working a room? Or do you prefer to use LinkedIn? What is your approach to networking?
I mean, I'm definitely an introvert, so I wouldn't say I know how to work a room. LinkedIn, been using it recently.
Yes, you have.
some people that I have a ton of respect for have always told me to use it more. And I've made it an effort since this past summer to use it more. I think ultimately though, networking comes down to the same thing it came down to 60s and 70s and 80s and old school is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, your name's everything. So I feel that steel sharpens steel, and I believe in the laws of attraction and the power of positivity. And I feel that ultimately if there's good people out there, God will find a way to put them in your life. And I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in chance. I think everything does indeed happen for a reason. Even if we don't realize it right away, we can see it 5-10 years later sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's my ultimate form of networking. I just want to be around good people. I want to be, as you mentioned, I don't do things for clout, and I don't care how many followers they have. And if they're good people, I think ultimately in the end, good things will happen. So I guess that's from my dad as well. I'm not a big business card guy. you know, I can usually tell within the first 3 minutes of meeting somebody if they're quote unquote, you know, one of us. Yep. You know, when somebody's being flashy or name dropping, or, you know, listing their accolades, when you first meet them, it's probably not somebody that you want to do business with, no matter how many zeros are in their bank account.
Absolutely. I when I've been doing more of this kind of public facing stuff and being out there in the community, and it's just interesting who wants to quickly take a picture. I was like, I don't really know you. Like, who are you again? And I guess I'm a shy extrovert, but I'm a very shy extrovert, which is why podcasting works so well for me. I just get to fake it a little bit. And, but yeah, I definitely get it. And, yeah, I think your word holds a lot. And I noticed a little bit of a Robert Greene reference there too. Laws of Attraction, 48 Laws, the whole gamut. And I've been doing a Robert Greene deep dive. So if I'm in the gym, that's the ebook the audiobook that's playing the entire time. And I'm picking up stuff either for questions. It's like, all right, I wonder how a restaurateur would look at this, or I wonder how an entrepreneur would look at this, or an artist. So yeah, that's Laws of Attraction are big. So last real question. And because it's like, you know, you said you're not a business card guy, and it's really very much you're doing your own rules, and you're a co-owner, you're able to do your own rules or what have you, and kind of figure out what works. So do you have any like entrepreneurial hacks that's really worked out for you? Because you said, you know, earlier that, you know, people that you respect and you admire were like, hey, try LinkedIn, you know, maybe use that as a way. So what are some of those hacks to help you stay focused and productive that you have from an entrepreneurial standpoint?
Yeah, I don't believe in, I guess, hacks would be a tough word to use, because a hack would imply a shortcut. And I guess the ultimate hack is that there are no shortcuts. And it's always about finding who you are and finding a balance. And the example that I frequently reference is, we get two sayings that have become popular. And the one is, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing every day and expecting a different result. But we also hear that you have to be consistent, you have to work every day. So which one is it? And I think at the end of the day, your heart tells you, and you'll figure it out that way. And you just got to stay true to yourself. If what you're doing makes you happy, if what you're doing is important to you, if what you're doing has a meaning and you're not just doing it for the money, you'll break through eventually. There's no such thing as an overnight success. We know that. And while it appears that way sometimes from the outside, it's always been a culmination of years and years and years of work and belief and consistency. And then the rest, I guess, at some point you'll quote unquote break through, and then it's even harder to stay there. That's the easy part is getting there. The hard part is staying there. So I guess my hack is consistency. Just find out what's important to you, find a great team, and just make it work every single day. And if you're happy, the money will come. But you know, you can't buy happiness, and you can't buy the ability to put your head down at night on your pillow knowing that you did things the right way.
Thank you. That's great. That's actually the right answer there, John.
There isn't the right answer. Everybody's different. You know, everybody's journey is different. Yeah. So, you know, what works for me won't work for the next guy, and what worked for the guy that I look up to won't work. Didn't always work for me. You know, my father would always say that you take a look at your five closest friends and you'll see who you are. And as an extension of that, I believe that you can take your five biggest influences and your five biggest inspirations, and you can take parts of them and you'll be parts of them. And, you know, one of mine obviously is Michael Jordan. And that does not mean that I can shoot a basketball like him, but does not mean that I will be rude to people in public, like, you know, he's been in times, but I definitely like to think that I get my tenacity from looking up to this guy my entire childhood.
Mm-hmm. And watching the Last Dance documentary, just people that know me, they were like, this version of Jordan is very similar to you. I was like, oh my. Yeah. And then I started looking at it, and I tried not to take it as, oh, you guys are talking about me, I don't know how I feel about this. And then really looking at it, I was like, nah, I approach things like this. It's like, look, you gotta, like, this is what you want to do, right? This is what we're trying to do. I'll just do it myself. And that was kind of the energy. So I definitely get that. I relate to that. All right. So now that we've shared all of that, we've established some goodwill here. Now it's time to just get weird and ask rapid fire questions. So I got four of them for you. So this one, besides money, what is your favorite way to compensate people?
Just wrapping my arm around them and just getting to know them one-on-one and to let them know that they're appreciated. In a family business, you get to have that one-on-one interaction, and it's very important that they know that they're not just a number, that they're part of a family, that you care about that person. So just get to know each person, to let them know that we care, that we recognize that, you know, they're different from the person next to them, the person next to them, and that we'll always be here for them. I think that's the best way to, you know, compensate somebody. And that's a great question, because there's been times where people have done a great job and you just give them an added bonus and it means nothing to them. They just want to feel appreciated. They want to know that what the, you know, that them working those extra few hours for you, what noticed. It's not about the money to them either. And that's when you know you have somebody great on your team.
And I think that's one of the things that became very prevalent with just the recent changes of employment, the mass exodus of people leaving jobs. It's not about, you know, part of it is obviously money, but it's really about how do I feel at a place? You know, am I treated more than a number? And, you know, as you touched on, having a family business, family is key. Family is important. And, you know, the place where I'm at, my day job talks about that and then kind of does the opposite. And it's like, you guys got to do something to improve goodwill here. You know, we've lost a third of our staff, people that, you know, have worked together for 10, 15 years. And it's like suddenly my friend is gone that I work with. It's like it's going to be a hard pill to swallow. And didn't expect people to go out of their way to do extra. You've created this transactionary kind of thing that people don't want to do that. It's like we're numbers. And it's like if you're able to move past that, that's creating a consistent and winning culture within an office of showing like we're well within a job or what have you, showing that we're connected in this way. You're our people. What's a standout trait for you? When you're trying to determine someone's character, like early on, like you can kind of tell when you first meet someone, it's like, all right, what's that characteristic for you?
I can usually tell right away. I touched on it earlier. You can tell what's important to somebody by having an eye-to-eye conversation with them. You know, like I said, if they're name dropping and if they're talking about themselves and they're talking about cars and jewelry, it's just not somebody that I want to be around. It's not somebody that I want to do business with. It's not somebody that I want in my circle. But, you know, if they're talking about their family, if they're talking about memorable moments in their life that involve friendship and memories and not dollar amounts, if that's somebody that I want to be with, and that's somebody that I'm attracted to, and it's somebody that I can share a drink with, I can share a lunch with, and if I can see that they're on a mission to spread their word, I want to be around them. And especially more so now than ever in the business world, anytime that somebody mentions their religion to me, no matter what that religion is, I respect that, because it's become taboo to talk about whatever you believe in. Right. And, you know, I'm Greek Orthodox, but I have Catholic friends, I have Muslim friends, and look, we all believe in something, and for us not to worship money and to make that known to people, I think attracts us to other like-minded people. And by like-minded, I mean doing things for the right reason and not for finances, not that any religion is right or wrong. And I think the older we get, the more understanding that we get, and the more wise we get, the more we see that.
Absolutely. Last two, and these are going to be the quickest ones, I think. If you could tag with one wrestler, who would it be?
Oh, man. Of all living or all time?
All time.
Mr. Perfect.
Hell yeah. Lastly, go-to cocktail.
Go-to cocktail. Gosh, you know, it just really depends on my mood and what I'm trying to do. But I guess I'm a big Tito's guy, so Tito's and soda.
Okay. That's all I got. Thank you. So I want to, one, again, thank you for coming onto the pod. And two, I want to encourage you to share anything that you really want to cover as we wrap up here, and tell the fine folks where to check you out, social media, whatever you really want to share. It's shameless plug moments. I don't know.
Yeah, just, you know, really appreciative, obviously, for my team. They make everything possible. And, you know, I always try to find a way to mention my middle school and high school whenever I have a platform. So I just want to thank Loyola for just teaching me how to be selfless, to be a man for others. And obviously I thank my parents for, you know, working hard and letting me go there. That place changed my life and it really changed my outlook on life, changed the way I treat people. So I just want to thank those, you know, my team and my high school, I guess. And then in terms of where people can find us, of course. We're on pretty much every social platform. Jimmy Seafield on Twitter and Instagram. We're on LinkedIn now. We're on TikTok, trying to learn that one, and Facebook, of course. So, you know, we're pretty much everywhere. We're very active. We pretty much answer every single comment, every single tweet, every single, you know, post. So we're very interactive. We love talking with our customers, or even just people that are fans of the brand that might never come to Jimmy's from Washington, Hawaii, Alaska. It doesn't matter. It's just, this is part of our extended family. So shoot us a follow and let's have some fun.
Absolutely. So I want to again thank John Minidakis from Jimmy's Famous Seafood for coming on to the podcast. And I'm Rob Lee, saying that there's food in and around Baltimore. You just got to look for it.